Hi, everybody. Welcome to East to West Weight Loss Surgery, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April, and I'm the West.
And I'm Jason, and I'm the East.
We are thrilled to be bringing you our very first episode of a new segment we are calling The Struggle Bus. We have struggled in our own weight loss surgery journeys. We know members of this community struggle in their journeys. We also know that it can be hard, you know, just reaching out and asking for help and support. So we wanted to create a safe and welcoming place where you can come with your struggles and we can kind of help you solve them, or we can empathize. We can just offer you some advice and our own experience so you don't feel so alone in the struggle. And the really nice thing too about this format is that you don't need to tell us your name, or we don't need to share your name or your exact question. We can paraphrase so that you can remain anonymous. We know that this is hard. We know that this is difficult, but we just want to provide you the safest place for you to get the help that you need to find success in your weight loss surgery journey. So we thought the Struggle Bus was the perfect way to do that. We're also welcoming two of our East to West weight loss surgery crew members today. Hello, Becca. Hello, Natalie. We're super excited that you are on the bus with us. I'm going to ask that you ladies introduce yourself quickly. So Natalie, why don't I start with you?
Yeah, so I'm Natalie. I'm at Breaking Barriers on Instagram. I had my surgery in September on the 28th. And since then, I've lost about 35 pounds, which has been amazing. And I'm just excited to keep going.
Oh, we are so proud of your success. We're so thankful that you have been so open and honest with your journey. And we are, of course, beyond thankful that you are part of the East to West WLS crew too.
I'm super stoked.
We are too. Oh, and Miss Ashley, will you introduce yourself?
Hey guys, my name is Ashley. I had gastric bypass or Roux-en-Y on the October the 13th of 2020. So I'll be 6 weeks out on Tuesday, and I've lost about 26 pounds since surgery.
That is amazing. And when you say you've lost 26 pounds since surgery, I think you need to clarify. How much weight did you lose in your pre-op experience?
I lost 108 pounds pre-op.
Yeah. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, you're going to see us going, oh my God. I mean, we're just like blown away. We know how difficult that is. I've talked about this on an earlier podcast episode. If my surgeon had given me a strict pre-op diet, I would have failed miserably. I didn't have it in me. And when I hear stories like yours of how successful you were, it gives me goosebumps to think about how dedicated you were to going through the weight loss surgery. I mean, process. Just amazing.
Thank you, April.
So, and I have to be absolutely truthful about how the Struggle Bus came to be. We connected with Ashley just on Instagram. We loved her story. We invited her on the podcast. She's so inspirational. When you guys hear her episode, you too will just get goosebumps. She said one of the most profound things in the world that I think I've ever heard, but I will save that for you to listen to on the episode. But in our conversations with her, we had kind of asked her, you know, why do you enjoy supporting this community, or, you know, how do you want to support this community? And in conversations, she had just said, you know, one day I'd love to travel around the world, or, you know, travel the US and in a bus and just get to know people. And I would love to help people who've gone through bariatric surgery. And it sparked a little aha in my brain. And I thought, wow, that would be amazing. And during COVID, that's not necessarily something that might be feasible. And I just thought, wait a minute, we have a podcast. We could get on, you know, a not real bus, but we could do the same type of support. We could have a struggle bus, and it could just be, you know, in a digital or virtual format. So you are the inspiration for this, and we are so excited that you are along on the bus with us, because yeah, we're just beyond excited to offer this type of support to the community. So thank you for your inspiration, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys. I'm so glad to be here.
Whoop, whoop. Okay guys, are we ready to hop on the bus?
Indeed.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's do it. So our very first question from the community is kind of a big one, but I think it's a question, I know it's a question that we have all struggled with. One of our community members let us know that She's really struggling about her decision to have weight loss surgery. She told us recently, I'm 2 weeks post-op and I am regretting my decision to have weight loss surgery. What do we think about that? Yeah, Ashley.
I think it's pretty normal to feel that way, especially so soon post-op, because everything is changing, not only your hormones, but the way that you have to live in the world itself, having to focus on protein and water and sleep and vitamins. Oh, she's totally valid in her feelings. And even at almost 6 weeks out, sometimes I still regret the decision to have surgery. But I feel like once it becomes more normal, that it wouldn't be as hard of a struggle.
I cannot agree with you more. The moment I woke up from surgery, I really thought, oh my God, what have I done? And then as I was staying the night in the hospital, I really, really went to a dark place. I just thought, I'm in so much pain. I took one sip of water and felt like my life was ending. I was in so much pain and I just instantly regretted it. And I said, this is stupid. I could have done this on my own. I could have just eaten less. I didn't need to do this. And I really had those thoughts for about 4 weeks after surgery. And I got to the lowest point, I think, in my recovery. And I just had to acknowledge the truth. And I didn't want to acknowledge it because it was painful for me. But I just had to say, April, there is no way you could have done this on your own. There's no way. You tried everything with fidelity before. You committed to losing weight. You tried all the programs. You drank all the shakes. You did all the fasting, all the keto, and nothing ever stuck. So you needed this. And that was really, really hard for me to say. But once I acknowledged it, I could move forward. I could just say, yep, nope, that's the truth. And that's what happened. And now I'm 16 months out. I always say it's the third best thing that I've ever done in my life. Going to college was the first, marrying my husband was the second, and having weight loss surgery was the third. It's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah, I know for me, mine was a little different. Any struggle with that I've had post-op, regretting the decision, will just strictly be my old brain creeping back in and seeing food and being like, man, I wish, if only I could eat all of that right now that I really wanted to. These are the times I wish I hadn't have done it. But it's a fleeting thought for me in that sense. So that's, I'm lucky in that, in the way that comes. But I know when I walked into the office to go through all the steps that I went through, I cleared out like 5 steps in one day because they just had me in the office and they were like, well, since you're here, let's do this, 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 and this. And then they were like, yeah, now we're going to throw you on the schedule. How does this sound? And you're going to start your liquid diet on Tuesday. And this was Friday. So I had literally had the weekend. And then when I went back to work on Tuesday, I was starting the liquid diet. So in my head, we had what we called the American backyard potluck, which was every food that under the sun that I love to eat the most. And I knew that I had to start my liquid diet that day. And I literally sat there across from the doctor and started to ask for a different day just so I could eat again. And I knew at that point that I didn't need to make any adjustments to the date. I needed to go ahead and schedule it because it was ridiculous for me to think, well, I'm going to push my life altering surgery away so I can eat a little more for a couple of more days. And so that to me, I knew at that point I had to make the commitment to dig in because it was going to get real bad if I didn't.
And when you told me that story the first time, Jason, I felt so validated and vindicated in my own struggles. I did a program here in Washington. It's called 3010 Weight Loss for Life. It was a really, truly a wonderful program. I lost 60 pounds. It was great. But I got to the low weight and I panicked and I freaked out and my weight came back. But when I committed to that program, I signed up and they said, okay, well, you need to start this day. And it was over a vacation, right? So I was going to start the program. And then a week later, I was going up to Alaska and I was going to be in Alaska for like 3 weeks. And I called back after I had kind of signed up and I was like, ooh, I'm really nervous about starting this when I'm on vacation. We're doing this and this and this, and we're celebrating this milestone or this birthday. And Shannon, the manager of the place, just kind of deadpan asked me, well, are you going up to Alaska to eat? And I was like, Oh, hell no. You have got, you know, it's like one of those pearl clutch moments, like, oh, how dare you assume that the only reason I'm doing, you know, blah, 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 blah.
But, well, I never.
Oh, but what, like a freaking gut check. I mean, I was just like, oh my God. I mean, first I was like, okay, bitch, you know, and then you're like, oh, wow, that's reality. And that struggle is why so many of us have these moments of regret, because we don't quite want to admit that food is the most important thing in our lives. We're just not ready to do that yet. But after you have the surgery, there's no going back. And that's a whole nother, you know, place of self-discovery and acknowledgement that we have to get to. And it's awful, 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 awful. But man, once we get there, we can move past it. Natalie, what did you want to say?
Yeah, you know, Jason, you mentioned that was kind of your old brain creeps through. And I mean, 3 weeks out, I had a day, I was on pureed stage, which is basically baby food. You know, you're not really eating food. And I made soup. And then my dad made ribs, like the most delicious smelling ribs you've ever smelled in your life. And I remember I threw a tantrum like I was 2 years old, because I was like, why would you make ribs right now? I haven't eaten in 4 weeks. Like, how could you? And then I'm like, okay, but he didn't have surgery. And, you know, ribs will always be there. You know, we're in this like really pivotal time, you know, when we're on pureed stages, we're on liquid stages, we're not really eating. I literally woke up in the middle of the night one night chewing in my sleep. Like, our bodies and our brains are deprived of that at this stage, at 2 weeks out. Like, your body is like, what the heck? What is going on?
Right.
But something that always like came back to me that someone had said to me like years ago was that food will always be there. You know, you're not eating it right now. You're probably not going to eat it for a couple more weeks, but it will always be there. You can always make ribs again. You know, like, it's, you're not missing out. Food will always be there.
And that's a good way to look at it. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I saw something the other day that somebody put in a comment, and I want to say it was on Facebook. It may have been on Instagram, but somebody, and it shocked me. Like, it was the most shocking thing I had seen, because I thought I had it bad about food pre-op. But post-op, I heard somebody say they used to buy food and chew it up and then spit it out just to have the food taste in their mouth. Mm. And that threw, I mean, I reread it a couple times and was just like, wait, what? Like, how is that? I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, that to me would be that would be the worst, because I don't want the taste in my mouth if I can't swallow, if I can't, you know, right, eat it all the way. I'm not even trying to happy that's gross. To me, anyway, I couldn't fathom that. I didn't even know that was a thing. I was shocked.
Well, and I think there's, you know, we all have such a unique and different story about how we got to the place where we decided to have weight loss surgery. And after we've had a procedure, our stories and our experiences are all different. But I think what's so powerful about conversations like this and spaces on the internet where we can be open and honest about what we're going through is that even though we acknowledge all of our experiences are different, we can all empathize, and we can all find pieces of each other's story in our own. And even though it doesn't look exactly the same, it is the same. And there is power in the community. There's power in finding that common thread, because we don't have to be the same to be helpful. We don't have to be exact to be supportive. And that's really what this is all about. So for the woman who submitted that question, our very short answer is we empathize, we understand, we've been there. Your feelings are valid. Your feelings are in aligned with what we have felt. And we are hopeful and looking forward to the day when you can tell us that you no longer regret your decision. So stay the course.
It definitely gets better. I can promise you that.
Take it from Jason. I mean, he's the captain of the struggle bus. I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Our next question, submitted from a woman in our community. She asked me, or she told me, I'm 9 months post-op and I've only lost 80 pounds. I'm feeling defeated. And I'm just going to answer this one quickly and then open it up to the group. Girl, I feel you. I was stuck at an 80 pound loss until my 10th month after surgery. I too was feeling defeated. I felt like I wasn't doing things right. I felt like the surgery didn't work for me. What I did though, was I focused on the 7 things that were going to make me successful, right? It's basically what was in my binder. It's what this community talks about all the time. Water, protein, vitamins, movement, gratitude, eating slow, you know, all of those things. And I just put them at the forefront of my mind. And I said, you know what? It doesn't matter if I don't lose any more weight. I've lost 80 pounds. That's like, I mean, try to pick up 80 pounds of sugar or potatoes or a 80 pound chunk of wood. I mean, it's really, really, really difficult. And that was how much weight I had lost. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to be proud of that accomplishment and I'm going to stay the course. And I stalled out for almost 2 full months. And it wasn't until about a year, I think I was a year, I broke through 100 pounds and now I'm down 120 pounds. And that's just because I have persevered. So my quick advice to you is stay the course, be thankful for what you have lost. Look at all the work that you have already done, that you've already accomplished. You are a success. You are doing phenomenal things. Stay the course, get those things at the front of your brain, always focus on you. And just see what happens. Does anybody else have
it breaks my heart when people put only in front of their accomplishments, mm-hmm. because it's amazing. Like 80 pounds is amazing. If you told somebody for any other weight loss program that you dropped 80 pounds, you'd be their spokesperson. So the fact that you just, I only did this. Like our brains are so trained to believe that, well, this other person did so much more at this stage. So I really feel like my only 80 pounds, but you have to realize that your body composition is different. The makeup is different for every single person. It doesn't matter if you look the same, if you're the same age, if you're from the same, you know, walk of life, like none of that matters. Your body composition is going to react different than other people's. So, you know, as we've said before, comparison is the thief of joy. Quit letting other people's, what they get to do in their process does not speak to your process. You need to focus on what you got going on and just be grateful for what you've done so far. Stalls are going to be there. Stalls are going to suck. That's why we always talk about measurements, pictures, different things that you can do. Work on, you know, non-scale victories, trying on clothes that you didn't think would fit, because that's what'll shock you more than anything. Because you'll be like, well, I only lost 80 pounds. Well, that 80 pounds could probably come with about 8 inches of loss around, you know, your waist or your arms or your, you know, your chest. There's lots of changes that come with those 80 pounds. So don't be too hard on yourself. Pat yourself on the back. Keep going. The biggest thing to remember is as long as you work the program will work for you. You just have to keep pushing and you'll get there, but take the word only out of those accomplishments, because when you get there, they're to be celebrated and applauded because you've done the work and now reap the reward.
Yes, exactly. If you guys are watching us, you can see Ashley, we're all just, yes, right. Exactly, Jason. And I know that Ashley and Natalie, you and I have both kind of spoken at length about this. I have been struggling lately with comparing myself to others. That it's just, and like I said, I'm 16 months out, and some of my comparisons are driven in my weight loss, and some of my comparisons are just driven in my ego, which, you know, that is what it is. And Natalie, the other day, you told me that line, comparison is the thief of joy. And I've heard it before, but when you said it, for some reason, it just stuck in my bones. Do you want to talk about that? I know that you say this often, you share it on your page. It's kind of like your one of your many mantras. And I so appreciate the fact that you spread that loudly.
Yeah, I, when I was like, I don't know, probably in my teens, someone shared with me, don't compare your chapter 3 to someone else's chapter 52. And I think that Instagram, we're kind of all, we're all on our different stages, but we see it every day. So it can kind of, we can get into this mindset, like I'm only 7 weeks out of surgery. But sometimes I'm like, I've only lost 35 pounds in surgery. And I'm like, yeah, it's only been like 1.5 months, you know? And that's my chapel and they're, you know, 60 or 50. And you can't get caught up in where other people are at. You have to stop and look at where you are at and where you started. That's all that matters.
Could not agree more, right? So if you submitted that question, I hope you know that you have made amazing progress, that you are doing fantastic. Keep in the back of your mind that phrase, right? Comparison is the thief of joy. You are doing amazing things and we celebrate the progress that you have made. Stay the course. Okay, our next question. Now that I'm working from home, all I want to do is snack. Yeah, we're all there. How do I stop? Great question. Really great question. I would say we all got to where we were because snacking was a problem for us before weight loss surgery, right? We probably did it more than we want to admit, or we did it more than what we were even aware of. But snacking is real. And it's true. And just because you have had weight loss surgery, it does not mean that those old habits are not still present. So the fact that you are even recognizing it, it means some good things. So I think a question that I would ask you is, when you're snacking, what are you snacking on, right? Because we all know that snacking is just sometimes a part of life. But I think the four of us, I can see we're all nodding our heads. We have found some high protein snack options that we go to, because I know all four of us, every time we put anything in our mouth, either we're eating or we're drinking, it's either straight hydration or it's protein. Those are the first two things that we are doing. So I think taking a moment to pause and really reflect on, okay, what am I snacking on? And is this snack going to help me achieve my weight loss goals? Or is this snack just simply because I'm emotional or I'm sad or I'm feeling stressed or overwhelmed, right? Are you going back to your old ways? Are you going back to your old habits? Or are you finding a way to change those old habits, right? So we're not necessarily saying don't snack, but we're saying if you do need to snack, you need to make sure that snack is aligned to your goals of weight loss surgery. Right. So what are your guys' favorite go-to high protein snacks? Yeah.
No. I know for me, it's anything. I love crunchy, like salty snacks. Mm-hmm. I could kill a bag, like a family size bag of Doritos, no problem, you know, mm-hmm. pre-op. Mm-hmm. So I love Quest Nutrition. They have chips. Those are really good. And they have 19 grams of protein in them per bag, wow. which is just killer. Like yes. that's the highest protein I've seen in a bag of chips. Mm-hmm. But I also really love Greek yogurt. I get like the light and fit Greek yogurt. So if I'm like, oh, I just want something kind of sweet and creamy, but you know, it still has 12 grams of protein, I can sit and watch TV and feel like I'm, you know, kind of indulging myself at the same time. So I would say those two I always have stocked always.
Awesome. Ashley, what about you? What's been your favorite high protein go-to snack?
Well, I'm going to jump on the bandwagon with Natalie. I am obsessed with the Quest chips. Mm. My new obsession that I just found recently from ordering from Bariatric Pal is I'm a Built Bar fan.
Dude, aren't they the best?
Built Bars? I've been wanting to try those.
Yes. I tried the toffee almond one this morning for breakfast. And I was like, yes, this is where it's at. I'm going to have to get on their website and order like a whole case.
If I could like be mobile with this conversation, I would go take you into my pantry and you guys would see. I have 100 Built Bars in my pantry. They are my absolute go-to favorite when I want a snack. And the reason that I love them so much is they are creamy. It's bizarre. They're not like all the other hard protein bars. They are soft and chewy. They really remind me of like a candy bar. And as soon as I found them, I was like, oh my God, these things are the best thing since sliced bread. And I, every time they have a sale, I just stock up on them. And they do a really nice job of keeping the flavors interesting. They always mix stuff up. Yeah, absolutely. My, yes. If I am in the mood for something chocolatey, something sweet, Built Bar, and they've got massive amounts of protein. I mean, they're perfect. And I can remember when I was really fresh out of surgery, I couldn't eat a whole one. And I think that's the other key here when we're focusing on snacking. If you are snacking and gorging yourself and you feel not well after you've snacked, you probably weren't hungry. You were emotional, you're stressed, right? You're using these feelings to justify, I'm going to talk about that too. Ashley was holding up her water bottle, right? You're using your feelings and your emotions to justify eating. So when I was fresh out of surgery, I could only do half a Built Bar and that was it. And I was full, I was satisfied and satiated and I could stop and then I would save it and, you know, enjoy it the next day. So, you know, when we're snacking, we really do kind of have to engage a little bit with our brains and we have to say, okay, wait, you know, why am I doing this? Because the other thing that I would recommend that you do is that if you get this desire to snack, right, or you have a craving for something, go to your water, right? Grab your water and take some sips and let that, you know, feel that, you know, go into your system. And if you are truly hungry, that water is going to go in, you're going to feel your body do something with it. And then you're still going to be hungry. But if you take a couple sips and you realize, oh my God, I'm full, you are not hungry. You do not need a snack. You are needing something to get you through a difficult moment in time. And that's when you ask yourself the question of, or you say, oh, I guess I'm not really hungry. So what is going on? And for me, the answer is always, well, you're stressed, you're upset, you're worried, you feel like you don't have enough time to get something done, right? There's a reason behind that. And if I can pause and figure out what that reason is, then I can move forward taking care of my emotions, right? I mean, normally it's because I'm stressed or I feel like I've got too much on my plate. Okay, well, I'm going to make a to-do list. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write out quickly what I need to get done. And then I'm going to focus on checking these things off my list. And as soon as I acknowledge that desire to eat or to snack, you know, really dissipates and I can move forward with a game plan. Because I think half the time snacking is not actually, you know, you're not actually hungry. You're feeling something else. Jason, what's your favorite go-to snack?
I do the Elevation bars from Aldi. They make a good protein bar. It has 20 grams of protein with them, and I'm a huge fan of those. But I am going to try Built Bars, and also I'm going to try Dive Bars as well just because I want to give them a shot. But I also, now that we've done the macro snacks, I'm working on those now just because the protein count in those, because I'm a – you know, April and I have talked about it. I'm a Cheez-It fiend. I will eat Cheez-Its until I don't care what size of box. I don't care what it is you get. I'll eat it. And I found myself actually rotating back to those post-op and then getting pissed off because I'm stuck at 320 pounds for 6 months. And, you know, it's because you're clearing out a box of crackers every day there, dum-dum. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get to a point where you need something to supplement what you're after with the crackers. So the macro snacks have been amazing to do that. I hadn't thought about a Cheez-It since I got the bags, and I've just been working on those. And what's funny is I don't go back to them. Like if that box of Cheez-Its, like I was buying family boxes of Cheez-Its and I'd be in that box a couple times a day, but with the macro snacks, it's been days. I hadn't messed with them since I've had any. So it's even cut down on my snacking because I know that there's a better alternative there. And it's actually worked out a lot better for me doing it that way. So, well, but another thing too, I've realized is I know that a lot of people, the stuff that we talk about with some of the people that we talk to about snacking and things is, you know, if we tell them just don't have it in the house, like, well, I have family, I have kids. I actually can relate. You know, you got a family, you got kids. Well, kids aren't always going to eat the snacks you eat. And sometimes you don't want them to because our stuff's a little more expensive. So you don't want kids clearing through them on Christmas break. So what I've found for me, the better alternative is to keep my stuff in a separate cabinet. Because if I go in there and look at, you know, at a box of crackers, but then I have healthier snacks as an alternative, I'm still going to eyeball those. Yeah. I'm still going to eyeball those crackers. So, it puts me at a higher risk to slip and grab the crackers instead of my healthier alternative. So I've just put all my stuff in a separate cabinet. So I don't even go near the bad stuff. So.
Yep. It's one of my biggest takeaways. If you guys have followed us or you know me at all, Atomic Habits, I think I sleep with this under my pillow now. It's my absolute favorite. It has helped me so much. And this book, James Clear, really talks about how we can replace our bad habits with better habits, or how we can how to redo your habits, basically. And one of the things that he recommends is you really have to put some friction between you and that bad habit or that trigger. And one of the ways to do that is to, exactly what you said, Jason, put all of your healthy snacks in one area, and that's only where you go. You never go deep into the pantry. You don't go where the kids' stuff is. That's for them. You have to make a space for you. And when things are out of sight, they're kind of out of mind, right? So if by putting friction between you and what you are really desiring, all that means is that you make it a little difficult for you to accomplish that. So I love my Built Bars. Some days I maybe like them more than I should. So they're in a bin high up on a shelf, right? And sometimes just knowing like, okay, I got to like get out the step ladder and then I need to go up and grab that bin and pull it down and then rifle through it and look for what I want. Some days that's enough for me to go, oh, forget it, right? Like it's not worth it. I'm not really needing that. So that's just a little bit of friction. And the other thing that I want to say about macro snacks, and then Natalie has some insights that she wants to share too. The reason that being aware and being choosy about our snacks is that Cheez-Its are engineered to be addictive. Cheez-Its are purpose built for you to eat the whole flipping box in one sitting, right?
They did a good job.
Oh yeah, of course. That's why everybody loves Cheez-Its. Like, I mean, hello, that's why the grocery store is mostly snack food and not like legit food to help us like live our healthy lives. So when you're looking for a snack, you need to really make sure that it is nutritious. And that's why Jason and I mean, I discovered macro snacks years ago. That's why they're my absolute favorite. I always have them in my house. It's because macro snacks is a balanced snack. There's actually nutrition in there, right? It's good, healthy fat. It's a small amount of carbs and it's a crap ton of protein. So when I'm eating that, my body is going, oh, this is a snack, right? It's crunchy. My brain's going, oh my gosh, you're having a snack again. But my body's going, oh, thank you for the nutrition. This is what I needed. So you don't have a desire to overeat and you don't have a desire to continue to eat something that's not good for you because you've actually taken in the nutrition. So that's why it's so important when we are really needing a snack, we have to make sure that it is going to turn off that little blinking light in our brain that's saying, I need something, I need something, I need something. But we also have to make sure it hits our macros because that's how we're successful after weight loss surgery. We can't just mindlessly eat anymore. That's not going to serve us. If we really want to lose weight, if we want to live our lives at a healthy low weight, we have to do both all the time. Natalie, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I was actually going to say pretty much what you had already said, but I had a moment last night where I wasn't really ready for bed. I was watching Netflix and, you know, it was 9 o'clock at night and I just went over and I grabbed myself some Quest chips because I was bored, right? And started eating them and I realized like, oh, I'm full. Why did I grab those? You know, like why, you know, but if it was chips or like Doritos or something, you know, they would have just gone right through and I wouldn't have felt that fullness and I could have probably eaten more than I wanted to. But because those snacks were so protein packed, you know, I'm sitting there and I probably had two or three and I went, oh, I'm kind of full. And I was like, why do I even have these? It's 9 o'clock, just drink some water, like get over it, you know? But we have to kind of get ourselves out of those mental blocks. And I think that having, you know, nutritious snacks will kind of train your brain to get out of that cycle, because your body will get full a lot faster than a whole family size bag of Doritos. So yeah, I mean, everything you guys said is spot on.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, and if you guys are thinking that you want to try some of these snacks that we have recommended, we've actually partnered with some of these brands. So we partnered with Macro Snacks and we've partnered with Built Bar because we know that there are so many options out there for us after bariatric surgery. And we know sometimes you're nervous about pulling the trigger on something because you just don't know if you're going to like it. And it's nice to know that other people out there have tried them and enjoy them. So if you want to try them, I highly recommend go to our Instagram page and click the link in our bio. If you shop using our links, you're going to get a discount. So at the time that we're recording this, Black Friday is coming up. Built Bar is having an amazing sale. They're having a 28% off sale if you click the link in our bio. That's like one of the best sales I think I've ever seen. And Built Bar has mini bars and sample packs and all kinds of stuff that you can, you know, try before you kind of commit to making a bigger purchase. And Macro Snacks is amazing. There's a discount code if you shop the link that's in our bio. So I encourage you to just check it out. And, you know, we only recommend products that we use every day and that have truly made a difference in our recovery. So if you want to welcome these products into your home and give them a try, now it's kind of a 2-for-1. You're going to be getting an amazing product and you're actually supporting what we're doing here at East to West, you know, WLS. So we would very much appreciate that support. So the last question that we have, you guys, is kind of tied into what we talked about before, but I think there's new information that we can share. Somebody asked us the question. They said, I never hit my protein or my water goals. Help. Yeah, right? Okay, so exactly. We're all like, yes, we've all been there, but all of us are like, I have an idea. Yeah, because we've all been there. We all know what it's like to not hit those goals. We have been so frustrated and we have some awesome ideas to help you hit those goals. So Natalie, I'm going to start with you. What would you recommend for somebody who cannot hit their water goals every single day? What have you been doing recently that has allowed you to get in those 70 ounces?
So if you would have known me even a year ago, I would have said, I hate herbal tea. Like, herbal tea is just leaf water. I hate it. Like, Natalie and tea were never in the same sentence. Like, I'm not even kidding. I'm born and raised in Washington. It's leaf water. But then, you know, people are like, well, but coffee's bean water. And I'm like, okay, you know. I was talking to some of my friends on Instagram. I was saying, you know, it's really hard for me to just drink plain water all day long. And plus, I'm always cold, you know, we're in the Pacific Northwest, it's freezing. And they said, well, have you tried drinking tea? And I said, of course not. It's me. Hello.
It's leaf water.
And I started drinking. Yeah, it's leaf water. I hate it. And they were like, just try, like, get some cheap tea, you know, at the store. So I did. I bought like 3 different flavors. And I kid you not, I'm out of it. Like, I've just gone through it in the 3 weeks that I've been home. And it really, for some reason, just tricks my brain into thinking this isn't water. This is like a special drink. And I drink 2 to 3 cups of tea every single day on top of like my normal water. But I will say, if you haven't tried herbal tea, there's a myriad of flavors out there and you can get really good deals on Amazon and things like that. So I would highly suggest doing that because that's really helped me get my tea every day.
Yes.
Or water every day.
Yeah. Well, but it really kind of tricks our brain because I think a lot of times we get this aversion to water. We're so sick of it, right? It's like, oh my God, that's all I do is sip water all day long. And that gets boring. It gets old. So to flavor the water or to drink something that we don't call water, but it's all water, is super helpful. So yeah, tea, hot tea, cold tea is an excellent resource. They make water, protein waters now. So like Premier Protein makes them, water or Protein O2. Yep. Yes. Thank you, Ashley. I knew you were going to have one. So if you're watching this, she's holding it up. Yes. I have also kind of gotten on the Protein O2 bandwagon. It's just water that is flavored and it has protein in it. I bought mine at Costco. You can buy them on Amazon. We actually have an Amazon shopping link in our bio if you want to go and see all of the water protein that we recommend. And yeah, I mean, you go to any grocery store, there's 10,000 tea options that are there. I definitely am more of a fruity person and I love, yes, fruity teas. Yeah. And an excellent, excellent way to get in your water. And Ashley, what have you been trying recently? I know you welcomed something into your life and it's been helping you with your water.
I got a new cup. And it has all the measurements on the back, and then it also has times. I'm not sure if you all can see it on here.
Oh, what a good idea.
So it goes by 2 ounces, and then it has every hour of how much you should drink every hour. So that's been helping as far as the water, because I'm the world's worst for getting it in.
And I think that the key is that I have tried a new product. You guys, maybe you don't know, but I am on the Hydro Jug train. Oh my gosh, right? That thing has like changed my life. But the reason that I think it's so powerful is kind of twofold. I mean, it's a 75 ounce jug and it's not as big. So if you're watching, Natalie is holding hers up. I mean, they're big, but it's not like overwhelmingly big. But you fill that bad boy up one time, and then the key is to take it with you everywhere. And HydroJug makes it easy because they have you can buy a sleeve that's got like a shoulder strap. And I know it sounds crazy, but you just take that bad boy with you everywhere that you go. So sometimes I think the struggle with getting in enough water is that you forget it. You just don't, you know, you don't take it with you. Like I love my Starbucks cup, but this is what I drink my protein coffee in. Well, sometimes I forget to take it with me. But that HydroJug is just so in my face, and it's the only place where I'm drinking water out of. It makes it so convenient because now I don't need to track my water per se. Like I know how much I've drank because my jug is right there. I'm not refilling it throughout the day. I'm not going back to my fridge and going, wait, is this my second glass or is this my third glass? I just don't know. It makes it so, so, so easy because I fill it up one time, I keep it on my desk, I throw it over my shoulder, it goes with me everywhere. That is my water vessel. So very much along the lines of what you're doing, Ashley, right? You've got one thing that tracks it for you, that measures it for you, and you take it with you everywhere. And you just have to sip from it all day long. But I think if you focus on getting your water in throughout the day, you just keep that out of the forefront of your mind. If you do that consistently for a week or two, it's going to become almost like a habit, right? And pretty soon it's just like, oh, I don't go anywhere without my HydroJug. I don't go anywhere without my water bottle. It just almost becomes a part of you. But the upside to doing that is that the more water that you drink, the better you're going to feel about yourself and the better you're going to feel. We are all dehydrated, no matter where we are in the process. I think every human on the planet is some level of dehydration. So when you start hydrating yourself, you start flushing out the toxins of your system, you're just going to feel better. And then that increased, you know, elevation in your nutrition and how you feel is going to motivate you to just continue to drink, you know, more water. I would encourage you. I mean, I think we've talked about 3 really great things. Think of creative ways to get it in. Drink something that's not necessarily water, but is water-based. Find a protein water that you enjoy and get yourself a big, giant water jug that you can only fill up one time, right? Or you're filling up 2 times throughout the day and you take it with you all the time. So I think that's definitely, yeah, that's our suggestion for water. Jason, what do you recommend?
I kind of did mine the opposite way because I bought, before I even knew about HydroJug, I went on Amazon and bought a big version of like what Ashley's got that has the times and the dates and all that stuff. And it's about the same size as what you guys have. It's a giant jug with a handle and all that. Mm-hmm. But I was not ready for that amount of water throughout a day.
Yeah.
And so for me, much like Ashley, I went and got a different bottle that has, it doesn't have the times on it, but it's got the measurements of the water and it holds 24 ounces.
Yeah.
And for that, I fill it up out of that big jug that stays in the fridge all the time. So the water stays cold. So technically I'm still measuring, and I'm actually measuring twice at that point because I can tell how much I've cleared out during the day. Yeah. And then I just refill the jug at night. But the smaller quantity has me realizing, like, in the mornings I'll think about it and I'm like, okay, I should be 12 ounces or, you know, 12 or 16 ounces down by now, and I'm not. Let me pick it up. So I'll pick it up, and then I'll be like, oh, before I go get that snack, I need 24 ounces of this gone. So then I'll go ahead and bust out 24 ounces. Then I'll get up at the same time I get the snack. I refill my bottle, sit back down. I'll have the snack and then wait my 30 minutes before I can start drinking again. And then in my mind again, I just go ahead and set new goals for the afternoon and clear that out, and then do it again in the evening. But my bottle's got like the little finger hole, so I just carry it with me. Yeah. And it's to the point now where if I happen to leave it on a counter or a table somewhere, my granddaughters come running with it and they fight over who gets to take Pop-Pop his water bottle. And they'll come running and be like, your water. And so they run it to me everywhere. So it's, even if I left the bottle somewhere on purpose, it wouldn't stay there. It would come to me. So I don't have a choice but to drink.
Oh, my God. That is adorable. And the other thing I think you said two really powerful things that, you know, our ability to consume our 70 ounce water goal is drastically going to be impacted by how far we are post-op, right? If you're 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks post-op, I mean, if you can get in 20 ounces a day, you are winning. You are doing good. I'm 16 months out, so I should be able to consume 70 to 80 ounces of water all day long. And one of the ways that we can make sure that happen is exactly what you said, Jason. We can set ounce goals for us before we do something, right? So it's kind of like, well, an if-when scenario. I'm not going to eat lunch until I consume or drink 24 ounces of water, right? Or I'm going to finish what I have left in my bottle, and then I can have lunch, right? So by doing that, you're making sure that you're focusing on the things that are going to allow you to have success after weight loss surgery. And you're kind of putting them, you know, in an order of importance. You know that you're going to eat eventually, but I need to get in some hydration first. That's a really powerful little brain game that, you know, that we can play with ourselves to help us meet our goals. Yeah, that's awesome. Protein. I know we talked about it earlier. Are there any other types of like high protein foods that you would recommend people try to really help them get in their protein goals? I know, Natalie, you said earlier Greek yogurt. That's absolutely one of my go-tos. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I have really been incorporating a lot is tofu. And I know it sounds crazy, but if I make myself like a fruit smoothie, I will do some protein powder, but then I'll also throw in, you know, chunks of tofu. It gives it some heaviness and it really feels like a meal. The other thing that I've been doing is just chunking out tofu and throwing a bunch of like seasoning, you know, garlic and herb seasoning, and then I'll air fry it. And it makes this crunchy, delicious meal for myself that's high in protein, that's plant-based. There's nothing, you know, artificial that's added to it. And I've really been enjoying that. I've also ordered, and I have at my house, edamame. I love to heat it up in the microwave. And again, it's a really nice snack. It's all natural. It's like whole food, very high in protein, and just something different. I think sometimes we fall into these ruts of like, you know, I'm eating the same thing and this is just getting so boring. But if we branch out just a little bit, we can really, I think, you know, mix up our palate. Yeah, Ashley.
Another thing that I do is get unflavored protein powder like the Gene Pro or IsoPure and add it to puddings, yogurt, Jell-O, make your own popsicles with it.
Yes, you can get so creative with unflavored protein. So creative. I mean, you can put that shit in anything. It's the best. The best. And I think that the real key also to getting in our protein is that every time you eat something, it has to contain protein. It just does. If you make that your goal, you will reach your protein goals. I mean, it's just going to happen. And that's why it's so important that we really have our go-to items always in our home or always accessible to us, right? We always have high protein snacks. We always have high protein food items. When we're meal planning, right, for our families, we always start with protein, right? What is the protein? And then we build our meals out from there. And I think I made the mistake really, really soon after I had my surgery. I made myself like I think it was a fruit smoothie or was some type of beverage. And it had like 86 grams of protein. And I was like, oh man, look at this. I'm knocking this out of the park, right? Like, oh, this is so amazing. And then somebody told me like, hey, you know, your body can only take in 30 grams at a time. And I was like, what? Oh, hell no. You know, and then I was like, God damn it. I just wasted, you know, all this flipping protein. Right. Yeah. So here I was thinking I was being like so smart. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, thank God people were like, hey, FYI. Oh, great. Okay. Well, that's why I love this community. So know that you can't overload your body with protein, right? If you eat something in one sitting and it has 50 grams of protein, your body's only going to be able to take in 30 of those grams. So don't worry about like packing it all into one meal. The key to success is that you really have to space out your protein throughout the day. And you do that by making sure that every time you eat something or every time you drink something, it is packed with protein. I think that is the number one goal.
One other thing I've been doing lately is for the late night kind of sweet stuff that people fall into when they want some of it. I've been freezing protein shakes in the little little cardboard ones.
Oh.
And then once you freeze them, you can cut the cardboard off around it, and then you have like little ice cream frozen yogurt type of deal.
I had no idea.
You're a genius.
I think I saw somebody else had come up with it and told me that if you cut the cardboard, just had posted something about cutting the cardboard off of it. And I was like, I want to try that. But yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Oh my God. You know what I bet you could do? Oh, I just had a genius idea. If you had popsicle sticks, you could probably take the lid off of your protein thing. You know, put a popsicle stick in there, maybe like tape it around so that it stays there, stick it in the freezer. And then you could just take a knife and like cut 3/4 of the way down and then slip the lid off. And then you would have like a legit popsicle, and you'd even have the base of your thing to like, you know, to drip.
As a catch-all.
Oh my God. That is the most, dude. We are geniuses. We are so smart.
I'm trying that.
Oh my gosh, East to West world. Just watch. In the next 2 weeks, you're going to see all of us with our protein popsicles. We are going to be ingenious. Protein pop. Hashtag. Oh my God. Yeah. Dude.
Well, I do that with Greek yogurt, like the little light and fit ones. You can freeze those, and then it's like frozen yogurt. But I would have never in a million years thought to do that with my protein shake. So I'm doing that.
Wow, man. Freaking this is why we do this. It's because collectively we're smart, but together we're brilliant. Oh my gosh, you guys. Wow. Well, we did it. We did not get through all the questions. Not a surprise, not a shock, but I feel like, man, we hit some good struggles. And I always leave these conversations just feeling so validated in my, you know, in my feelings. And it's nice to know that I'm not alone and we are not alone.
Yep.
Makes it powerful. Oh my goodness. Well, you guys, thank you for joining us on our very first ride on the East to West WLS Struggle Bus. We hope that you found some valuable information, that you got some new ideas, that you are just as inspired as we are, because that is why we exist. We're really excited to offer this as a weekly platform now. So you are going to be seeing the Struggle Bus episodes drop every single week. And then we will be going live on Instagram Tuesdays at 4:30 Pacific time. So if you have a struggle, if you want us to address it, if you just want to talk about it and gather some ideas or some ways that you can help yourself out of your struggle, join us on Instagram Live. There will be a question button that you can hit. You can type in your question. We'll pop it up on the screen and we will address it in real time. And we would love to get to the place too, where we just invite you to join us live on Instagram so that we can like just hang out and answer your question in real time. So be absolutely looking for that. And if you like what you are hearing or seeing, subscribe to our podcast on your podcast app, subscribe to our channel on YouTube, send us your feedback, rate us, leave us a written review, and just share this with the world. Let people know that this is a resource that exists for them. We know that everybody struggles. We know that it's hard to find success after weight loss surgery. And our entire goal is to make your struggle more valid and to provide you the help that we all need to find success.
Yes, definitely.
All right, you guys. Well, I think we did it. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today. I very much appreciate it. Like I said, I always leave these conversations just feeling inspired and uplifted and ready to tackle anything, because I know I've got the community standing behind me to back me up. So thank you
for having me.
Yep. All right, Jason, you want to take us out?
Yeah, I just thank everybody for, that's going to be doing what April asked, the likes, the shares, the subscribes, the reviews. We need all of those things to keep doing what we're doing and bringing you guys what we're able to bring to the community. And we can't do this without you guys. We definitely appreciate everybody for all that you're bringing to our talks, to our conversations. So we appreciate that very much. And ladies, once again, thank you for joining us. And just remember to the community that you've got this and we've got you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.